Well, God's strength be yours today after this day of storms out there. Hail twice today in Merritt Island and Cape Canaveral, and wind and pelting rain and such good things. That's a great intro to the story tonight, because we're looking at Jonah and that great storm that hurled him into the sea. And he cried out to God from the belly of the fish, from the bottom of the ocean. That was an emergency call to God. And what I'd like to ask tonight is, does God answer when we make an emergency call to him? Is he monitoring the other end of the line? This, if anything, is a quintessential picture of a 911 call. You call that when you have an emergency, and believe me, Jonah had an emergency. He is in the belly of the fish, at the root of the mountains, at the depths of the sea, and death is closing in all around him, and he cries out to God, gets on the phone and calls out and cries out to his God, and will God answer a 911 call? Let's take a look at that and see what we can read about it and learn, because God wants you to know the answer to that. So let's take a look at just refreshing briefly a little part of the story here. When the storm raged, the sailors took up Jonah and threw him into the sea, and the sea ceased from its raging. Then the men feared God exceedingly, and the Lord appointed a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and nights. Chapter 2, then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from the belly of the fish, saying, I called to the Lord, and out of my distress, and he answered me. Out of the belly of Sheol I cried, and thou didst hear my voice. For thou didst cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the flood was round about me. All thy waves and thy billows passed over me. Have you ever been under the sea swimming, snorkeling, or scuba diving, and looked up and seen the waves and the tops of the ocean rolling over you? Jonah looks up and sees such as he sinks into the deep. Then I said, I am cast out from thy presence. How shall I again look upon thy holy temple? The waters closed in over me. The deep was round about me as he sinks, and the air goes away and he's being submerged. Weeds were wrapped around my head, he says, at the roots of the mountains. And what mountains are these? These are the undersea mountain places. He's going to the very bottoms of the ocean, at the valleys, even in the sea, whose bars closed upon me forever. And from there, he makes a call to God. Would you say that that's a 911 call? If you are an operator on the other side, on the other line, and someone says, oh, by the way, I was swallowed by a whale, I'm about 15 to 20 fathoms down, I'm heading to 300, and there's seaweed around my head, and I'm now reaching the bottom of the mountains of the ocean. Would you call that a 911 call? Absolutely. Is God going to answer a 911 call from Jonah? And God wants you to know, is he going to answer a 911 call from you? Well, part of understanding the emergency situation, as if you don't really understand it already, the Jews and the Hebrews would look at this in an even more distressing way, if possible, than we would. Because for us, what do you think of when you think of the sea? Do you like the sea? We live on the coast because we love the ocean. When you think of the sea, you think of how much sunblock should I put on today? 15 or 35? You know, we think of snorkeling and sailing and sparkling waters and happiness and rafts and sandcastles and seashells. So we have a lot of good imagery about the sea. But let's understand that the Hebrews, it was not such for them. If you look at the scriptures, the picture of the sea for a Hebrew is chaos. It is the outer wilderness. It is the place of the abode of the great sea dragon Leviathan, who, by the way, is an image for the devil. It is the place of death. Let's take a look at that and just show that to you here in the Bible. Isaiah 57 says this, verse 20 says, but the wicked are like the tossing sea, for it cannot rest, and its waters toss up mire and dirt. There is no peace, says my God, for the wicked. So the sea here, a tossing sea, is likened to wickedness and wicked people. Of course, we all know that story when Jesus is on the sea and there's a great wind and the storm rushes down upon the lake and they are fearful of perishing. Death is about them, such as the sea to the Hebrew. Also, if you look at Jude chapter 13, false preachers are described like this. They're called wild waves of the sea, casting up the foam of their shame, for whom the nether gloom of darkness has been reserved forever. So would you say that's a pretty happy image of the ocean? I could go on with other examples. They're not thinking about snorkeling and seashells and, you know, let's all just put on some sunblock. They're thinking darkness, chaos, wickedness. This is the place of God's judgment and wrath. And here he is not only at the sea, he has now been swallowed by a great fish, a leviathan, a sea monster, and he's being taken down to the depths of it. Would you call that a 911 call? Even more so for a Hebrew, but yes, for Jonah for sure, and for us as well. And Jonah says, I called to the Lord out of my distress. Out of the belly of Sheol I cried. So will God answer a 911 call, an emergency distress? Is he monitoring the other side of the phone? Well, in some cases, you could say God does turn a deaf ear to prayers, doesn't he? Sometimes he refuses to answer a cry of distress. And we can find that in a few places, like let's just look briefly here at Isaiah 58. I think we looked at this last Sunday, actually, where we read, the Hebrews said to God, why have we fasted and you don't see it? Why have we humbled ourselves and you take no knowledge of it? God says, behold, because in the day of your fast, you're seeking your own pleasure and you oppress your workers and you're quarreling and fighting and hitting with wicked feast. He says, that kind of fasting will not make your voice to be heard on high. That's why I'm not listening to you, because your hands are full of wickedness. So are there certain times when God doesn't answer a cry of distress? There are certain times when he doesn't. We read also in Isaiah chapter 1, verse 15. Verse 15 says, when you spread forth your hands, God says, I will hide my eyes from you. Even though you make many prayers, I will not listen. And why? Because your hands are full of blood. In other words, you're just destroying each other wickedly. Why should I listen to your prayers? So there are certain things that can get in the way of your prayers. Peter says in his letter that if a husband mistreats his wife and is mean towards her, his prayers can be hindered and blocked, as if he's calling to God on the CB radio. You know, God, I have some prayer here for you, and I'd really like, and my emergency, and thank you very much. So you can have your prayers hindered by sin. But how far away is God from answering your prayer? Do you know that even in times of the Bible when God says he will come to destroy his people because of their sin, he has a tough time doing it? In fact, he turns back so quickly, so often, to show them mercy and to save them instead. Here he's about to destroy them in Hosea chapter 11. And he says, my people, they're bent on turning away from me. And so I pointed them to the yoke, and none shall remove it. In other words, judgment is coming. But then the very next line, God says, but how can I give you up, O Ephraim? How can I hand you over, O Israel? My heart recoils within me. My compassion grows warm and tender. I will not execute my fierce anger. I will not again destroy Ephraim, for I am God and not man, the Holy One in your midst, and I will not come to destroy. Isn't that beautiful? How far away is God from answering a 9/11 call? Even when you don't deserve it, and you're not even calling upon him in truth, he's so near to saving you, because God is not a destroyer by nature. He does destroy at times, and he will destroy on the day of judgment, but he is a deliverer. That's who he is by nature. His first desire always is to save and to bring back to life quickly. You know, human beings might not answer a 911 call, a 911 call. Just this morning, right before the hailstorm, I'm driving to work and it's raining. And I want to get to work, but guess what I see? A dog running by there in my development area. And it's looking lost. And it's an old dog with a very white face. You know how their faces get white when they get old? And you can see it's totally lost because it's kind of looking frantically, sniffing this way and that, checking every door, trying to find some sign of home and finding none. So I take about a half an hour out of my morning to try to help and catch this dog. And I called Beth and she said, well, call animal control and see what they suggest. Of course, Beth is the super dog helper, but she was busy with Naomi at the dentist. So I get on and call the animal hotline. And I got to what I thought is the number I should push, and I, you know, to speak with someone if it's an emergency, and it goes, so I call it again, and I hit the number again, another one, I wasn't getting anywhere. You know, sometimes when you call a human 911, at least this is a dog one, but you didn't get an answer. You know, you call the suicide hotline, and they put you on hold. Sorry, all of our representatives are busy right now. They're assisting other customers. But God answers his 911 calls. We read here in Luke chapter 12, it says, fear not, why even the hairs of your head are all numbered. God says, just acknowledge your guilt. This is Jeremiah 3. Just only do that. Just turn with me to me. Just even the slightest direction that you rebelled against the Lord your God and done such things. Return. Turn towards me. And God says, I will take you, one from a city and two from a family, and I'll bring you to Zion. He is so quick, ready, waiting, monitoring the line to answer your cries of distress. God says in Isaiah 65, before they call, I will answer. While they're yet speaking, I will hear. Do you believe that about God? He is revealing to us in his word things that are invisible. We can't see God, but he certainly has told us and given us insight into invisible places so that we can see him clearly, though our eyes can't see him. And he's telling us here in this passage of Jonah that if you put a 911 call out to me, I'm going to be there for you. Because Jonah committed such disobedience that God should have just cast him off, and God was right there. Even after all that terrible disobedience from Jonah and wickedness, yet when he cried to God, even from the belly of the fish, he says, God heard my call. Is he going to hear your call? Jonah cried to the Lord from the belly of the fish, and the Lord spoke to the fish, and it spit out Jonah upon the dry land. And Jonah says, my cry to him reached his ears. So your cry going to reach his ears? God will hear. Do we have hope that God will answer our cry of distress? Well, that story of that dog this morning, kind of interesting because, you know, I'm trying to catch this dog. Eventually, Beth comes from the dentist and I'm talking on the radio. I mean, on the phone, that is. It's like a military operation. And I will go home when Beth tags now onto the dog. Because she came up alongside. She's following the dog. I go home to get our dog, Gracie. You know Gracie. Because I thought if Gracie's there, maybe this dog will come over and then we'll get him into the get her into the car. Big dog, by the way. About this big. And that didn't work. The dog keeps running away. Eventually, though, with the hail coming toward us, big, thick, black clouds are heading our direction. And I'm thinking, this dog has already been through one hailstorm, and a second one is about to pummel it, and it is frightened, it's skittish, it's afraid, it's worried. Oh God, help out, I'm sending up a call. And just at that moment, the dog walks in between her cars, Beth just kind of gets out, opens the door, and he jumps in. Or she jumps in. And we brought it home. I got to show you a picture afterwards. We drove it into the garage, because the dog was so scared it wouldn't get out of the car. So we're all sitting, our Beth and Faith are sitting in the car comforting the dog during the hailstorm this morning. But my point in that is that I had compassion on a dog because it was, you know, alone and lost and wet with a storm coming. And it didn't ask me to come and help it. It didn't even seek my help, and yet I was there following it all along. Do you think God does the same thing? Even when a person doesn't want God, is rebelling, running away, just like Jonah, or just like the world that's disobedient to him, God, though he's invisible and the people don't want him, he's in hot pursuit. And as soon as you turn, even the slightest bit in the direction of his door, he's right there, ready for you. That's what the Bible says. Another story here, I saw on, you know, not too long ago, there's an African-American woman with an older white guy, and there was a tornado heading toward the house. And the guy says, let's get under the counter. It's heading right for them. The lady starts crying out, Jesus, 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 save us. And they watched the path of the tornado after that it was over, and it come right toward the house, lifted up over the house, set it down again, and kept on going. God answers 911 calls from his people. Another one I saw, and I was looking up stuff for this, is Korn is a heavy metal band. The leader of that band, very evil, totally a tattooed man. You can't even see skin left on him. He was in a live-in situation with his girlfriend, into orgies, into drugs, into all kinds of wickedness. And he said when his life hit rock bottom, when he got to, if you will, the bottom of the sea and the roots of the mountains, like Jonah, he was so distressed, but a person he was working with happened to be a Christian and sent him a scripture over the email, which said, but this word, Jesus says, come unto me, all ye that travail and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And this heavy metal, evil, wicked band leader goes with the guy to church, and he cries out, Jesus, save me. And I saw him give his testimony that his life has now changed. Jesus answered his 911 call. Another woman I saw on the internet, Zaisha, she and her husband were splitting up, and they were certain to heading for divorce. Their marriage was on the rocks and going down to the roots of the mountains, hitting rock bottom. But she called out to God and sent out her cry of distress, her 911, and she gave her testimony that God saved her marriage and how he did it. And she put it on the YouTube so that people could be encouraged who are in the same situation. My point is that when you cry out to God with a 911 call, he is right there for you. You know, if you're in a wrestling match, you don't have those tag team wrestling. Let's say you're getting pounced on by some giant and God is in the side ring, you know, on the rails waiting for you to tag him, and he'll get in and take care of the bad guy for you. All you have to do for God, you don't even have to tag him. All you have to do is just turn a little in his direction and he's right there to save you. Such is our God. He answers 911 calls. He cares for you. And this is proven to us in Scripture. It's proven to us in our lives. Paul says, God's will and hope is that man should seek God in the hope that they might feel after him and find him, yet he is not far from each one of us. Not far away. Right there, ready to go. As soon as we turn just a little bit, he's there, and he's right here near you tonight. Call upon me in the day of trouble, God says. I will deliver you, and you shall glorify me. And Psalm 55 says, but I call upon the Lord, and the Lord will save me. So he's already done this for us in Christ, in Jesus Christ. We ran away like Jonah. We were disobedient. And even before we called out to him, he already sent Jesus Christ down here to bring us deliverance. When the bars of death closed in upon us at the roots of the mountains, when we were about swallowed by the fish and heading toward that land whose bars would close upon us forever, God saw our evil plight. He pursued us, saved us, was near, and delivered us through Christ. And now, that was even before we called, and now we call out to him for salvation. And the Bible says, everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's our 911 call. And how do you spell 911 in heaven's dial tone? J-E-S-U-S. Jesus. That's how you spell 911 to God. You call out on the name of Jesus, and he will be right there to save you. For the Lord is near to all who call upon him, to all who call upon him in truth. Yes, he fulfills the desires of those who fear him. He also hears their cry and saves them. Amen.